Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanTex.com on Sports Radio 610.
It's very interesting what's happened to two of the best young quarterbacks in the game from the 2020 season to now.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Watson, career year. Despite the fact the team wasn't very good, Deshaun Watson was one of the best quarterbacks in the game. It was historic. It was a historic season for the Texans. It was a historic season by many accounts. Led the league in passing yards. Deshaun Watson was doing his thing. He wrote a book. He was talking about being legendary. And it looked like Deshaun Watson was on his way towards expanding his brand. On the other hand, the other quarterback in the state of Texas, Dak Prescott's. You had Dak Prescott's have one of the scarier injuries of last year, and his future was uncertain. It appeared you didn't know what direction Dak Prescott was going to go,
right?
And it appeared that the Deshaun Watson arrow was pointing up, the Dak Prescott arrow was pointing down.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't be any different.
Absolutely.
When it comes to the 2020 season,
yeah.
You go to the offseason. We know what happened with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson wanted out of Houston. Deshaun Watson still has his ongoing off-field issues. He's been dropped by a lot of sponsors, a lot of local
We went through the list, and national.
Want nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
A lot of national companies want nothing to do with him. Beats by Dre, peace out. Peace out. The name Dr. Dre resembles respect for all women. We don't want anything to do with you, Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of kidding there. By the way, Dre's not the guy anymore, but Beats by Dre, we want nothing to do with you. Nike, timeouts.
They did a, yeah. They
sit on the sidelines, Deshaun.
Yeah.
We want nothing to do with you either. Meanwhile, Dak Prescott gets a contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's larger than Deshaun Watson's. Dak Prescott, yesterday it was announced, he is signing with the Jordan brand. Is incredible.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott is now with Jordan Brand. So Dak Prescott, while Nike wants to sit on the sidelines with Deshaun and other companies want to kind of part ways, Dak Prescott gets a larger contract, and Dak Prescott is the highest paid member of football, the football Jordan team, Jordan Brand. It's interesting. I think a lot of it has to do with the star on the helmets. A lot of it has to do with the obvious off-field stuff with Deshaun Watson. But it is crazy that you look at these two guys and just how much different their performances were on the field in 2020. And look at where they are now. Regardless of the why, yeah. I get that there is a why. I get there's a lot of variables. But I just think it's kind of crazy that the two quarterbacks in this state who heading into 2020 were considered two of the most promising guys, they've gone in different directions despite their seasons going completely different.
Well, take it a step further. People were asking, and this isn't a straw man. I'm just trying. I can't remember exactly who, but you know, this was all over sports news, sportscast, pregame, postgame show during the whole Dak injuries and some of the transition that was going on in Dallas. Can you win a Super Bowl with Dak? You know is that the ceiling? Is his injury? Is his head fried? Is, you know, whatever. Does he have it in him? Now look where he is. There was never a question about that with Deshaun Watson, about what his abilities were and where he could, and he was a championship quarterback in high school and college. There's no question about it. And now people are like, including myself, how will this affect him long term? Will it be something that lingers, et cetera? I mean, just polar opposites.
It's crazy. It's interesting. Yeah. I don't know how Dak's going to look this year. I don't know if Deshaun's going to play this year. But my goodness.
Yeah.
Very, very different. Speaking of Deshaun Watson, this is interesting. So Kareem Jackson said yesterday that Deshaun Watson wants to be a Bronco. Here is the exchange with Aqib Talib and Kareem Jackson about Deshaun Watson wanting to be a Denver Bronco.
I honestly think y'all going to have Deshaun soon. I think y'all going to have Deshaun soon. No bullshit. And if y'all get Deshaun, bro, y'all definitely a contender immediately.
I got a great relationship with Deshaun. I've been talking to him the last couple of weeks, man. And all he's been telling me is like, look, Jack, just tell him like, that's where I want to be.
He see the setup.
He like, man, listen, that's why I want to be in Denver. Before I signed, he called. He was like, man, are you going to sign? I was like, I don't know. I ain't sure yet. He was like, well, you know, let me know what you're going to do, whatever, whatever. And I signed back. He's like, listen, man, tell him that I want to be in Denver.
Around the NFL here on Sports Radio 610, Landry Locker, John Lopez. So the reason this is interesting is we've talked about Deshaun and Dak, the opposite 2020 seasons and the opposite direction in which each of their careers are going. I'm going to connect Deshaun to another quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And this was actually courtesy of Joel Corey, one of the best cap guys that is a friend of the show. So Denver has been linked right now to Deshaun Watson and Aaron Rodgers. Both of those guys are athletes first clients.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those guys appear to prefer Denver. So that's an interesting dilemma with athletes first. Now, there's different representatives, different guys that represent
actual
different
agents,
guys there.
Like the name agent.
So Mulligetta works with athletes first. He's Deshaun's agent. And then I'm not sure who Aaron Rodgers' agent is. And then Deshaun has the manager of Brian Burney, who, mm-hmm. my gosh, what a display he's had this offseason. And then Aaron has his guy. So it's not 100% conflict of interest. But it is interesting that one agency, Athletes First, who represents, I think they represent Dak too. They represent a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Just most guys have better guys than Brian Burney as their right-hand men. But they've got two guys that the Denver Broncos appear to want.
I think this is something that obviously has been discussed, not just among these agents, but all agents, but especially within Athletes First. This is something that they're working out, and it's not going to be like, it's not going to be, you know, there's not going to be a lot of anger between them. It's just something they're going to try to work out because they each want the same thing, the absolute best for their client. They're working the same agency. A lot of agents do this every day. They just call other agents. What's going on? What do I need to look at? What are you looking at? Et cetera.
We know the Texans got Pep Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
So they got the Pep. They don't have as much salt anymore because DeAndre Hopkins is in Arizona now, and that is a salty, salty, salty dude. Let's start with DeAndre Hopkins talking about J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt, his former teammate, is now his current teammate. Here's DeAndre Hopkins talking about that.
You know, J.J. obviously is one of my good buddies in the NFL, not just, you know, on the field, but off the field also. He's somebody I respect. And respect it since I stepped in the building. He's always welcomed me with open arms. From the first day I came to Houston, he was like a big brother to me and still is to this day. So once I heard that we was getting JJ, obviously it was a lot of excitement in my house because a lot of my family seen him play and we know what he can do.
All right, so JJ, he's happy to be with JJ. Nothing to see there, no salt.
Right, not no he's salt, happy.
No sodium, sodium-free there from Nuke. Which is rare.
Mm-hmm.
For someone who eats so healthy, I mean, we got this Beyond Meat. That dude has a lot of sodium in his life. DeAndre Hopkins. I don't even think he'll eat a real cheeseburger, but my God, he will
Does
fill
he salt
up a
salad.
Sodium. He will inject that salt into his veins. Asked about the trade for Julio Jones. This is where the salt shaker comes out. What was it? Yin Yang Twins? Shake it like a salt shaker?
Yep.
What happened to them?
They still around.
Doing what?
They still around.
Okay. Here is DeAndre Hopkins being extra salty when asked about the Julio Jones trade.
That we're not worth first round picks, that the first round picks are bad in us. That's basically what I would like to see a first round pick that could do what Julio and myself do. But, you know, guys are pretty good. You know, the receiver core, receiver groups, you know, coming out of college, they're a little bit more advanced than I was back in my days, even though I only had, like, however many touchdowns, 15 or so touchdowns. But, you know, you got guys like, you know, Justin Jefferson who came in balling as a rookie. So, you know, there's definitely some guys that can do what Julio and myself do. But I'm surprised, shoot, that Julio, I mean, I know, you know, I was only coming off a first team all pro, you know, so I kind of figured I might only go for a second round. But I was surprised a guy like Julio would only go for a second rounder.
Oh, sarcasm there. Yeah, I was just coming off all pro. Sure, I'm a second rounder.
Okay.
He's still feeling it. I think it's just
hurt.
It's just a deep wound.
He's hurt.
That when people remind him of that wound, he'll talk about it and he'll
that
be salty.
Three jokes though, not good delivery really.
Nah. I like that last part though.
Yeah, I probably should have started.
I was an all pro,
but I mean, like this whole talk, like a first rounder can't do what I do. No kidding, buddy.
Yeah.
But they're on rookie contracts.
Yes.
Like that's that. No duh. Like I've seen this argument. I think McAfee even made it. Like yeah. You're not going to get Julio Jones. If there's a rookie with the talent of Julio Jones or DeAndre Hopkins in the draft every year, they're going to go number one.
Yeah.
But the rookie contract is what it's about. He knows
it
that.
It makes a big difference.
But it was a dumbass trade, and that's what offended
absolutely
him.
Absolutely it was.
Like, Quandre Diggs is not offended that the Vikings traded him because they drafted Jordan Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
He's a baller. You already mentioned
him. He gets
him.
It. Put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs. I said Quandre Diggs. Shout out to Quandre Diggs. My eyes are on Texas. Shout out to Quandre, Quentin Jammer's brother, if you didn't know. Learn something new every day.
I already knew that. Well, you've said it.
Yeah, I've said it about 100 times. But, you know, different audience. Maybe someone hasn't heard me say that one of the 600 times that I've said. But salty new.
Yes, absolutely.
I get it. I mean, it was a bad trade. We know that. We get it. But best of luck to you in Arizona.
By the way, Julio Jones was on the field today.
He was, and he looks good in number two.
Ooh,
they got some physically imposing specimens on offense there with Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, and Derrick Henry. Here is Titans GM John Robinson talking about acquiring Julio Jones.
Man, my charge is to get as many good players on the team as possible. You know, but when you're able to acquire a player like Julio and can add him into the mix of our football team, what we try to do offensively, those don't come around very often. It was a move that we needed to make for us, and I know our fans are super stoked to have him here.
Yeah, I guess so. And actually, you know, it was a reflection on the DeAndre Hopkins trade as well, because clearly they gave up a lot more. I mean, they got a lot less back for Hop than they did for Julio. Julio Jones, though, speaking already and feeling pretty darn good about things in Tennessee. He said that he never really got rehab. He never really got to rehab. And an in-season injury, and he's talking about he feels like he's back in college now when he's in Tennessee. And anybody who thinks that his best is behind him, stay tuned.
That's what he said?
That's what he said.
The thing about Ryan Tannehill is, say what you want about him. And I was eating dinner yesterday with some buddies. And they're just trying to criticize Ryan Tannehill. Quit putting his numbers next to Patrick Mahomes. Why are you doing that? I get it. But the one thing he does do well, and the one thing the Titans do well, is they run play. They run, first of all, they run the ball well.
Mm-hmm.
But he throws a hell of a deep ball. And they and with Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, I feel like Ryan Tannehill, while he might not be in the same category as some of the quarterbacks that, you know, that he's being mentioned with because of his stats. If you're just telling me that this guy's going to run play action, throw the deep ball, he might be the perfect quarterback for this receiving duo and this running back.
I think you're going to see play action on first down so much with the Tennessee Titans because of Ryan Tannehill, and because that's when defenses are still going to load up against the run on first down against the Titans. They just are, because you don't want to have second and four, you know, or second and two after Derrick Henry. If you put six men in the box against the Titans on first down, Derrick Henry's going to get 6 or 8 yards easy. So I think they're still going to load up the box early, and that's where, whoop, little fake to the running back, and you got A.J. Brown on one side and Julio Jones on the other.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Another assing in Boston. Will there be another one? Zach Greinke on the mound. What's up with the Astros, and could we see them go six-man rotation for a limited amount of time. We'll discuss next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Another assing at Fenway. Let's go to the third inning. Astros trailing 2-1 after getting down to a 2-0 deficit. Jose Altuve at the plate. Four bags, Mr. Bellhop.
They are 3-1. Altuve drives one deep to left field. This game is tied. Jose Altuve. He clears the stadium.
He sure did.
Yes, he does. Astros tie it up. Astros... few doubles in the inning. Astros on top 6-3 in the eighth inning. They needed some insurance. We know how this bullpen has looked, although Christian Javier had it going. Christian Javier probably didn't need three runs, but the baseball messiah Alex Bregman, thinking about insurance, Aflac. Four bags, Mr. Bellhop.
Bregman drives one deep to left field, all the way back, and gone! Home run caught by an Astros fan in the monster seat. A Breggy bomb at Fenway.
Baseball messiah. And the fellow that caught that Breggy bomb, it was a nice catch on the move in the Green Monster there on the seats.
It went viral.
Went viral.
Pretty easy catch, though. It wasn't I mean, Smalls from Sandlot made that catch.
No, but he had to move. He was
that
move.
Was easy.
He was coming down the stairs,
that
man.
That was easy. That was a please catch it catch.
Easy for you.
And then all of a sudden, the guy's acting all confident. Guy makes a basic catch, looks about as nervous
basic.
As he can be. And then all of a sudden, he's walking like he's King Griffey Jr. with his hat backwards.
Basic?
Hell out of here with that. Six-year-olds make that catch.
You're not expecting a ball to come to you.
What else are you expecting?
Watching the game.
Oh, balls never come to you at the Green Monster?
I didn't say that.
One of the easiest catches I've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
And he gets some Breggy salsa for it.
And that's what I was going to say. They're going to send him a bunch of Breggy salsa.
Is that stuff good?
I haven't had it yet. I haven't found it yet. I hear it's at HEB, but I haven't
Apparently
seen it.
Apparently, it's pretty popular, pretty difficult. Mm-hmm. Alex Bregman doing his thing. Have you tried it, Figgy?
Nope.
You're not much of a salsa guy, are you?
Yeah, it's cool. Mm-hmm. It's cool.
What does that mean?
It's cool.
It means it's cool.
Okay.
I ain't about to stand in line and go get it, but it's cool. I'll pick some up.
Okay.
It's not Kanye tickets. I mean, you know.
They threw out, by the way, you see his happy birthday to Kanye.
You see his new line of clothes?
Trying to be as tacky as possible.
I was going to say, am I just an old dude?
At this point, he's just basically saying, I'm Kanye. I could take a dump in a box and people are going to buy it. So I'm going to take a dump on a shirt and people are going to buy it.
That's true.
That's basically
I was halfway
at.
Expecting to see the urban sombrero, you know, on his line of clothes.
Bro, that dude was wearing a tall tee the other day in the water. Mm-hmm. The dude's swimming with the shirt on.
I think he just puts stuff right on a napkin and says, yeah, make this.
And then tries to act like it's art. It's like a lot of these art things that you see, and they're like, oh, it's art. Nah, that looks like just a bunch of scribbles. Nah, it's really art. You don't get it. Ah, I'm pretty sure that I've seen some pretty impressive art that I've been impressed by.
Yeah.
That statue is a piece of crap. No, it's just art. No, it's not. It's crappy. No, well, you just got to understand. I don't understand anything, okay?
It's subjective, it's crappy. Andrew.
That's what Kanye's clothes designs have become.
I will agree with that.
But I will say this about the Houston Astros, and I thought this was an interesting conversation between Blum and Callis yesterday. I think that is one of the best. If you're going to talk Astros, I think the dialogue between Blum and Callis, not even necessarily the calling of the game, which I like as well,
mm-hmm.
but like the dialogue they have in between innings that a lot of times is buried, I think it's some of the most useful pieces of information and potential talking points that you can get.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the Astros' next stretch. We know they just had the 10 games in 10 days. But in the dark days of summer, a lot of times those stretches during traditional 162-game baseball seasons, they can get even longer.
Yeah.
And the Astros, with all the arms they have and the decisions they're going to have to make about their rotation, who to send down, who to keep, who to move to the bullpen, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Blum and Callis brought up that there might be an opportunity with this 20-day stretch that they're going to have, 20 games in 20 days, where they could go six-man rotation maybe just three times through. You don't seem to love that. They mentioned that Zach Greinke, being the creature of habit that he is, probably would not like that.
Yeah.
Where do you sit on that?
I've never been a fan of going six-man rotation. If you're good, I mean, you know, bad teams can do it. But if you're good, just because of routines of pitchers, and this is pitchers not named Zach Greinke, who's probably even more of a creature of habit than anyone. And they're still going to have to be throwing on that second and third day. The way it usually works, you know this, you pitched as a youngster. I don't know if you had this routine. Is you pitch, you relax and stretch your arms the next day. The second day after, you throw a long toss or maybe throw a couple of innings, and then you get ready for your next outing. 6 days, six pitchers, it's just hard to do that. I could understand during this 20-game stretch. Our guy Michael Beckman actually said this. What about a 5.5-man rotation? And I see, and I know what he's talking about.
Piggyback guys? Piggyback Javier with Odorizzi?
Yeah.
Piggyback Javier with somebody?
Do something like that. I could be down with that.
That's actually a good idea.
Yeah.
If you wanted to do that, but that would still be kind of, or is he saying two guys pitch on the fifth day?
No, well, either way, but I think he's talking about what you are, like, you know, be able to pitch Greinke or whomever wants to, McCullers or whatever. See, that's another thing. You got a guy coming off of an injury and a sit out. You want him to get back in the rotation when they want to pitch, and then maybe stagger some of these younger guys, because what are they going to do? You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. I mean, it's a hell of a problem to have, and I see the Astros right now. I know they're still one back of the A's, and I don't know how the A's are going to be the final 101 games of the season. But it is nice to see them kind of widen the gap in the wild card, because that's kind of like a safety net. They're two games up now on the Indians. I think the Astros are going to run away from the Indians with the wild card, and then we'll see what happens. But the Astros are playing good. They're going for the kill tonight in Boston. 6:10 start for the Stros. Your station 6:10. Astros versus.
Where did that come from?
Who Boston. Said that?
Water polo guy, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Water
that's
polo
right.
guy?
That's right.
He said, who said that? Your station, 6:10. By the way, that guy, he retired, didn't he?
He retired.
Shout out to the water polo guy.
Gave him a red card in his last game.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
The more water polo people you talk about, the more that know who the water polo guy was.
Yeah.
I just remember every time
all about him.
Every time I say 6:10 now, 6:10 first
your
pitch,
station. 6:10.
Your station. 6:10. Astros back at it today. We'll see what happens, but my gosh, it is fun. And my gosh, thank God for the Astros. Because they are the sanity. They are the daddy of Houston sports. They are the whoobie. They are everything that is good about sports. It is a pleasure to be able to turn on the TV and watch the Astros. Not only for the sake of watching a team compete, but for the sake of my sanity and for the sake of the sanity of the Houston sports fan. Coming up.
I agree.
Shout out to Allen Iverson. We talking about practice. Texans canceling practice. Hot takes all around from all of our teammates at 610. We'll hear them, as well as one of the best rants that I've heard in a long time from John Harris. Yes, John Harris got mad, and it was epic. Next.
We're in here talking about practice.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Texans cancel practice. We in here talking about practice. No minicamp next week for the Texans.
Not minicamp. Made the announcement. Not minicamp.
Practice.
Not the actual game.
Not the game.
Not training camp.
Not training camp. We're talking about practice. Led to a lot of reaction, which happens with the Houston Texans. You've lost the benefit of the doubt. Let's be honest. You've lost the benefit of the doubt. There are trust issues. A lot of times the Texans deserve criticism. A lot of times the Texans, because they don't have the benefit of the doubt, they're going to get criticized regardless of if other teams in similar situations are doing the same thing. Our teammates here at 610 have weighed in on it, and we are going to hear one of the favorite rants that I've listened to in a long time from John Harris, wow, of Texans Radio, who defended, wow, what the Texans did. And I think John is a very fair guy. John Harris recognizes that a lot of times you got to take it on the chin with this organization. He recognizes that a lot of times criticism is valid, mm-hmm, and he'll be the first to acknowledge that. But sometimes enough is enough, and you got to stand up. And I'll be damned.
He stood up?
If that's not what John Harris did yesterday on Texans All Access.
Full disclosure, I have not heard this yet, just like many of our listeners, because that's one thing I did not listen to, and I apologize. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Texans Radio.
Here is minicamp take one, courtesy of a guy you'll hear in 24 minutes, Ron Hughley.
Brand new coaches, brand new systems. You're just constantly trying to evaluate right now to see what you got. You got a quarterback in Davis Mills who you probably want to get on the field to see what he has at some point in the season. And these are critical things that can help. And I'm telling you, the biggest thing that shocks me over this, I know this isn't David Culley's decision in my heart. I think this is Nick Caserio's. And Nick Caserio comes from the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick and that crew. I cannot tell you how shocked I am in this situation that Nick Caserio would think that this team could be okay moving past not having this period.
It is Nick Caserio's decision, but he does agree with Show's thought there. He doesn't like it. I don't think Nick Caserio ever liked the fact that he was going to have to determine that they weren't going to minicamp. He had to. He had to. If you weren't listening earlier, this was a predetermined.
But on the surface, he is right. They could use as much practice as possible.
I think Nick Caserio agrees with that. I think Nick Caserio agrees with that. Man, I mean, this is a guy that's a worker bee, bouncing all over the place, doing everything. Especially with 50 new players, absolutely Caserio and you and me and most people who follow football would agree with that point. What I'm saying is they didn't really have much of a choice because this was negotiated before OTAs even began.
So that's Ron Hughley, who you'll hear at 2 o'clock some good points, I would say. I do not think that Nick Caserio 100% would have signed up for this.
Exactly.
I do agree there. Clint, self-proclaimed kind of an old head, a little bit old school mentality with Clint. This is what Clint had to say in reaction, and we've heard the promo throughout the day, in reaction to the Texans canceling minicamp. This is kind of the old school perspective.
And I know it's I'm an old head, but in 04, Parcells stands over me and Chad Hutchinson and goes, y'all ain't going to make it through my my training camp. Y'all ain't never experienced anything this hard. Y'all ain't going to make it. To now we're negotiating with players. We're hey, y'all show up for 4 weeks, man, and we're not going to do minicamp. That's where we're at.
Yeah, it was 03. But Bill Parcells is definitely the days of guys like Bill Parcells, Clint is right.
Mm-hmm.
They're very much in the rear view, and the days of training camps like 03, not 04, are alive and well.
Well, and keep in mind, the power of the players and the voice of the players has changed dramatically just in the last 3 years, much less the last 18 years. Because if it was 03, as you say, and I think it was when this happened with Clint, that's a lot of water under the bridge in terms of player empowerment and the NFLPA.
Here's Sean Pendergast talking about his reaction as we go through the mini camp takes leading up to, my gosh, John Harris, defending the honor of the Texans, our guy, John Harris. Here is the mini camp POV from Sean Pendergast.
So we should point out that this is something that's going on in other places around the league. The Eagles and Colts are two that we've mentioned. There's other places that are kind of having, Seth, these sort of miniature CBA negotiations with their player constituency, and they're saying,
"Yeah, that's hey. Yeah, it's almost like an individual local negotiation."
Yeah, like
yeah,
hey,
it's like when Union Shop 579 is going to of the I don't know, United Iron Workers or something,
right,
is going against their local company as opposed to a system wide.
That's right. That's right. And so what's been happening is that, as David Culley outlined, leadership for these teams have been sitting down with the coaching staff and upper management of the franchises, and they've the settlement that they seem to have come to, and this is the one that the Texans obviously came to.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's what's happened.
Here is Seth Payne, and I thought this was interesting because this is something that I really haven't heard anywhere else. I've heard a lot of takes around town, this station, other stations, on the canceling of minicamp. I hadn't heard this angle, and this is a good piece of information from Seth. As to why, because there's a lot of people asking, why are the players taking this stance about a mini camp? Seth, I'm smarter now than I was before I heard this morning. I'm much more educated. This was Seth Payne this morning on Payne and Pendergast with a good piece of information, I would say.
I don't know why the Texans would have to dangle a carrot on the stick for most of this roster to show up to any damn thing that they tell them to, because most of these guys are on 1 year, 2 year deals, or they're younger players. I mean, they structure the roster in such a way, they've got all these new guys, and the buzzword has been competition. It's all about competition. And yet, with the new CBA, you only have so many opportunities to have actual competition. I appreciate and I understand exactly the negotiating side of it, and frankly, I and other former players have kind of questioned, not all former players, but some former players that I've talked to, they've kind of questioned, like, what the hell is the NFLPA doing right now? They just signed a new CBA. The time to try to renegotiate when you should be available and when you should report in the offseason would have been during negotiations last year. Yeah. They've got a new president, J.C. Tretter. I will respectfully disagree with him, but I also think that him kind of just trying to flex his muscles in his first time on the job.
That's interesting. That is interesting. Kind of mark the territory, let him know. That I did not even know that. Quite honestly, I'm not like a negotiation expert. I think that was an interesting
Well, it's good insight as to why this is happening now. But either way, it's happening now. And that's why anybody who's like, oh, my gosh, the Texans, you know, you got to get on the field. And as he said, some players should want to get on the field. I agree with him on that. I mean, you're trying to make a squad here. You're trying to cash another big check for 17 weeks. Why would you not? Well, they tend to fall in line with the NFLPA. they tend to. So that's why this happens.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So that's the takes here. And we'll be honest, the Texans, they don't deserve the benefit of the doubts. We whoop up on the Texans quite often. We try to be as fair as possible, take on as much information as possible. Talk to as many people as possible with respect to the jobs that they got to do. But let's be honest, they haven't made it easy. For the last couple of years, they function as the worst organization, arguably, in the history of the NFL over a two-year stretch. And that's just where we are. And John Harris had had enough yesterday. One of our guys, he'll tell me when I'm full of it. God knows. He'll tell you when you're full of it.
Work on a jugs machine.
John Harris was not a fan of the dialogue around town with multiple outlets talking about the Houston Texans, and I'll be damned if that nice guy, John Harris, did not put together one of my favorite rants, maybe in the history of Sports Radio 610, but definitely in 2021. This is a one seed for most entertaining rant. Courtesy of John Harris yesterday on Texans All Access.
I really feel like I need to opine my opinion because I knew as soon as I heard that minicamp was going to be canceled, I thought about two things. Number one, both the Eagles and the Colts had no mandatory minicamp. Oh, no mandatory minicamp for the Eagles or the Colts. The Buccaneers basically had all of the young guys practicing, and then Tom Brady and his crew would come over and practice with no coaches. Oh my God, a split squad. The vitriol about no mandatory minicamp is absurd. Mm. It makes me like, I want to vomit when I hear it. On the first day of training camp in 2007, the New York Giants, now that year and that name should sound familiar, right? 2007 Giants. Hey, that team won a Super Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. You know what they did on the first day of minicamp? Or the first day of training camp. Sorry, not minicamp. Training camp. You know what they did on the first day of training camp? They went bowling. They didn't go and look back at the way that the 2006 season ended, and it was dreadful. No, the future Super Bowl champions went bowling. And we're talking about 2 days of mandatory minicamp. From 2014 on, minicamp was always cut down anyways.
Yeah, sure.
It was always cut down. So you got teams that sat with their players and said, look, let's talk about this. Let's figure this out. And every team came to some sort of agreement about what they were going to do in their OTAs. Do we wear helmets? Do we not? Some teams didn't even put on a freaking helmet during OTAs in minicamps. Oh, how can you not go on a field without a helmet? Oh, but the Texans had helmets on. And oh, by the way, do we know what happened in San Francisco yesterday?
What happened in San Francisco,
not
Johnny?
Not one, but two 49ers suffered season-ending injuries. Season-ending injuries. The rookie immersion program, if we're all worried about how many reps Davis Mills is going to get, Nico Collins needs to do this. Well, guess what? The rookie immersion program continues. Is it out on the field? No, but they have the coaches to themselves for the next week or so.
Yeah.
I'd much rather have that than go out on a field where you've only got five receivers right now.
And they got a little taste of it.
Well, this is a missed opportunity. This team was 4-12 last year. Carson Wentz, you don't think Carson Wentz going to the Indianapolis Colts could have used another week of OTAs, much less a minicamp? Probably. I mean, it's just infuriating to know and to hear such, oh, this is such, to denigrate the Texans for this particular maneuver. Miss me with this.
I like when Harris gets mad. My favorite thing about it, though, is he always has to apologize somewhat after he gets mad, which he did yesterday as well.
No.
I'm sorry. I was just a little hot and bothered about this because it feels like all offseason, anything the Texans have done, there's been a negative slant to it. Now they do the absolute right thing with their players. What they sat down and they communicated with them what they believed in and what they thought about this, and got a ton of participation during this this offseason. And the response is this: it frustrates me, Mark. It frustrates me. Okay.
John Harris, 6 o'clock, Sports
he's
Radio 610.
Wrong. I wouldn't take back a word.
Nah, he's just fired up. Yeah, you defend the honor every
I've
once in a while.
I've been saying it all day. This is not what. Don't make it more than it is.
He's got to defend the honor every once in a while.
It was negotiated. Look, and I get his frustration level because it's been a little bit of a rough off season.
It has been. Hasn't been a lot of opportunity to defend what the Texans have done.
This is like my...
But this is an actual opportunity to defend what they've done.
This is just, you know, the frustration has bubbled and simmered, and now it just, this is what did it.
Let's go to Larry in Stafford. You are on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, I'm a fan of John Harris, but Landry, y'all could talk about this as an opportunity to defend them, and it was negotiated. Here's a thought. These are the same asshats that came out there with jerseys with no numbers on them or a roster with no names or whatever the hell. The public relations, their messenger is wrong. David Culley comes out there and says, we got with the team leader. Of the 80 new players you put over there, who the hell is the damn team leader? You don't know. So who did they negotiate with? Eric Murray? Was it Whitney? All these other dudes? There's nobody over there. And, you know, the thing about it is the minicamp isn't really what the issue is. The fact of the matter, when you start naming teams like Tampa Bay and the Chiefs and all these other, those people have established a system and won some Super Bowls. Your ass went 4-12 last year. And the whole issue is that when David Culley comes out there and he's all laughable and flappable and all that other stuff, it's all jovial. But we also know that Vegas got this team to go 0-17, and it's going to be a miserable-ass year for us. And the fact of the matter is that what they should have done, it just came out and told the truth. Look, we do not want to find Deshaun Watson any kind of money because we're still hoping that he'll come back and be our damn quarterback. So we're going to cancel this so we can stay in the good graces of our quarterback and continue to negotiate in the back room to try to see if we can bring him in and save the Titanic before he hit another damn iceberg. I understand this. I see what it is for what it is. All I can tell you is that the Texans don't deserve no benefit of the doubt, man, because they have put us through hell for the last 2 years. And you can have Nick Caserio out there throwing footballs to Jack Easterby. And you can have Rack over there sitting there talking to David Culley and whoever else the hell, Lovie Smith. But the bottom line of it is your ass ain't won nothing and you don't deserve no kind of benefit of the doubt from me. Your ass deserve all the heat that you can get. And last thing before I let y'all go, I have not, and I repeat, I have not given up on Deshaun Watson at all.
Wow. He is on that hill.
Wow.
He is on that hill.
See, a lot of people feel like that. I mean, the hill. Again, Texans don't get benefit of the doubt from anybody. They don't deserve it.
My favorite part of that John Harris thing is how awkward
Vandermeer.
You could tell Vandermeer felt.
Vandermeer does not like conflict, does he?
No. Well, he's just a good dude. You know, he just wants to do his job and move
like
it along.
You pissed him off a couple times, but
no.
Okay. What were you saying about the tailgating?
Do they play the Cowboys this year?
We need to call Andre Ware.
How do you guys make up?
It wasn't that big a deal. It wasn't.
Okay. No, but how does a Vandermeer John Lopez makeup go?
I don't even remember. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It really wasn't.
Do you have to make a call? Hey, no. I'm sorry I said that about the tailgaters.
No, we finished the show and just did our stuff and moved on, came back the next day. You also have to realize, you know me, I don't let that stuff linger. I forget stuff. I mean, I let stuff go 5 minutes
You
after
and me have gotten in arguments sometimes where people can't even tell on the air. I think the last time we got in an argument, I think we said F you to each other and then like went about it. But I went back and listened. I was like, dude, we would like turn our mics off and say F you. What was it about?
I don't remember.
I think you were at the coffee machine too long or something.
I don't remember.
And I was like, oh, you're always late for this segment. You're the coffee machine.
Told
and
you to bleep
said,
off.
You said, shut the F up. And I turned it down. I said, F you.
That's what happened.
Yeah. And then I said, F you. And then all of a sudden I turned on the mic and I was like, Matthew Stafford with 2 interceptions.
But you also, I don't know, I think it's not like I don't care.
No, I know.
But I don't let stuff,
you're
I let,
pretty laid back.
I let stuff go real quick.
You're pretty laid back, dude. You're like, I feel like DeAndre Hopkins could talk to you.
I could help him.
Yeah, I feel like I feel like you're sodium free and he's very salty.
I could help him. My theory is what really matters is what I get upset about.
Okay, TJ Maxx.
Does lingering too late at a coffee machine really matter?
Does it all matter? Like no. Jack Easterby says.
I would like to talk to Jack Easterby.
It all Matt's matter.
I would like to talk to Jack. It does not all matter.
See, when you say it all matters and that's your take, that is setting yourself
that's
up
weak.
To where you're going to value crap that doesn't matter.
Yes.
And you're going to be doing stupid stuff like handing out numbers, rosters without
that's why
numbers.
I always go by what really matters. That's that's what I'll feel strongly about.
It all matters is setting yourself up for failure.
I totally agree.
John Lopez, Jack Easterby need to have a conversation. Gotta find him. Shout out to John Harris.
Thank you so much, John. I hope you're well.
For hopping
okay,
on.
It doesn't all matter.
For the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best of the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. We'll talk to you manana after the Astros look to whoop up on the Red Sox some more. And was Davis Mills really the top choice of the Texans? Get into that tomorrow. But in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley are next. Just the stars.
Thank you, Peggy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.